It's another season of Lent, and I know some of you in this room have gone through many more seasons of Lent than I have for two reasons. First of all, you're older than I am, but the many comes from the fact that when I grew up, we didn't do Lent. Lent was something that Catholics did and nobody else. Bit of ignorance there, but that's what I grew up with. And so I came into Lent a little bit later, and so it's still new-ish to me. It's not brand new, obviously, and you and I have gone through many seasons of Lent together. But when I think of Lent, or when I thought of Lent, the word that leapt to mind was deprivation, the doing out, doing without things. And one of the things I've realized over the years is that my first thought is frequently wrong. And in this case, it's wrong also. It's often wrong for a reason. It's not that I just like being wrong, and so I start there. It's just that's all I ever heard about it. All you ever heard were people giving things up for Lent. Occasionally made fun of, I think it was in, oh yes, it was in MASH, where one of the characters gave up atheism for Lent, which is always a good thing, I suppose. But Lent is not about deprivation per se, although deprivation can be a tool to get to what Lent actually is about. And now that I've said that, I'm also convinced there are many reasons and ways to observe Lent. And the one I want to talk about today, and the one I usually talk about, I think, at Lent, is a sacrifice that brings you closer to God. Lent is about becoming closer to God. That's the big picture. And for many of us, what we choose to do and what works best for us is some form of sacrifice. And the sacrifice needs to be a particular kind of sacrifice. As I always say, you can't give up a bad attitude for Lent. You should give up a bad attitude because it's a bad attitude. What you give up during Lent is the responsible consumption of alcohol, perhaps coffee. If you do, watch out for the headaches. They usually only last 3 days if you drink a lot of coffee, but be careful about those. Some people give up snacking after supper, the hardest thing I ever did for Lent. And you can also add things in as a sacrifice of your time. Some people will take on a new devotional practice, or they will pray for a particular group of people, or perhaps they'll pray a little bit longer, as the case might be, as part of their Lenten observation. But the thing that I want us to remember, and that we sometimes lose sight of, or at least we can lose sight of, is that Lent is not a requirement, and Lent does not require you to do any of those things. Lent is not a commandment. Lent isn't even in the Bible. Lent is something that came along later, and it came along as all these things do, as it sort of evolved into what we have today. Lent is 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday, not counting Sundays, and it's 40 days to pick up on the story in Luke, where Jesus was tempted for 40 days. The number 40 is very important. It's a symbolic number. Most of the time. It's one of those numbers in Scripture that when you come across it, you might want to be careful to see whether it's a literal number or it's simply a symbol. There's nothing wrong with symbols. We do that all the time. When I say I'm going to be with you in a few minutes, and it takes me 15 minutes to get there, and for you a few is 3, and for me it's 15, it doesn't mean that either one of us is right or wrong. It's just a flexible kind of word. 40 can be similarly flexible, but I think in this case the intention is that Jesus was in the wilderness for these 40 days. And we take on that length of time as an identification with what Jesus did then, because that's always a good thing, and also as a reminder that all things come to an end. One of the best parts of Lent reminds me of, well, a friend of mine. We were talking about running, something I haven't done for a long time. And I said the only time I ever ran was when I got in trouble with the coach if I didn't, because I never liked running. I said I hated running. He runs every day. And I said, what's the best part of running for you? And he said, quitting. The best part of running is stopping. He doesn't enjoy the running. The running is a means to an end. It's a way he stays healthy. It's okay to look forward to the end of Lent. To enter into Lent doing things that you might not choose to do otherwise because what they help you accomplish is worth it. My friend runs not because he enjoys moving faster than a walk, but he enjoys what he gets from the outcome of running. He's healthier. He can keep up with his kids, which is always a challenge. So the act itself isn't the goal. It's what it accomplishes. And Lent is similar in some ways to that. Because one of the things that we sometimes think, or at least I've thought in the past, is that the whole point of being a follower of Jesus is to not really enjoy yourself and to be suspicious of things that are fun, things that are enjoyable. And the trouble with that is that that's completely anti-biblical. And so if I go into Lent saying that the whole point of Lent is to suffer, and the more I suffer, the better it'll be, is that I've missed the point. Because the point of Lent, the point of every spiritual observation that we do, is to bring us closer to God. And while being closer to God, we become more and more the people we were created to be. We become more ourselves, not less. And we become more equipped to do those things that we have been called to do. Because each of us has been called to do things that no one else can. And I've said this often, but it's worth reminding us that only we can be partners to our spouses, friends to our friends, parents to our children. Other people can't do that. That's what we are called to do. And so when we work hard at becoming more the people we're created to be, we become better at those things. And the wonderful part of that is that becoming better at those makes us happier. Being a better parent makes me happy. It makes my kids happy too, which is something else that makes me happy. And you have a virtuous circle happening there. When we listen carefully to the Holy Spirit saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about adjusting this way you think? Have you considered that you respond a little impatiently when you don't really have to? Have you noticed those things that you do on a semi-regular or regular basis that you regret later? Those are the kinds of things the Holy Spirit brings to me, and I suspect to you as well. The Holy Spirit never comes to me and says, why haven't you evangelized the world? The Holy Spirit never comes to me and says, why aren't you working miracles? The Holy Spirit nudges me and says, are you listening carefully when your kids are talking to you, or are you on your phone? And when I listen to that and pay attention to that, I become a better parent. I become a better person. And becoming a better person means that I'm becoming more who I was created to be, because we were all created to be the best we can be. Fortunately, with the fall and all that goes with it, it's kind of hard to do that. But Lent is a season that's been set aside in the church calendar to encourage us to set aside some extra time or some extra energy in our minds or whatever, however we want to look at it, to get a little closer to God and to who we were meant to be. Because the biggest difficulty for most of us isn't that we don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's that we're too busy to hear. And most of our busyness is of value. Very few of us are busy with, well, what we used to call a retail busy work, which is where you hold onto a duster, chatting with your teammates until somebody comes by and then you dust something. You know, like busy work. Most of us don't do that. Most of us are busy with things that matter. But not everything matters the same amount. And maybe, just maybe, there's some of these things that we do, that we can shrink the time for them and give a bit more time to, well, whatever it is that we choose to do for Lent. Read an extra chapter of Scripture. Read an extra verse of Scripture. Think of someone who crosses your mind and pray for them. Pray for what's coming up with us in St. Mark's, with the transitions we're making. These are complicated things. We believe strongly that we're following the lead of the Holy Spirit, going in the direction we're going. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to be simple. Well, that lease suggests that not everything's going to be simple, and Guy and Bev can tell you about it. But setting aside some time to pray for that, or setting aside some time simply to sit with the Holy Spirit in meditation, contemplation, whatever you want to call it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And Lent is something that is meant to encourage you to do this. I've met people, and I came within a hair of becoming one, of people for whom Lent is a requirement, and as most requirements, eventually becomes an obligation and eventually becomes a resentment. I don't want any of us to resent Lent. I want us to move into Lent, if not enjoying what we're giving up, if we're giving something up, but looking past that to what it might accomplish in us. The sermon title, Lent, Yes, It's a Good Thing, came to me as a response to where I almost went. I hope it's in the past, so I'll say I had a very strong legalistic bent in me, because I like square corners. I liked black and white. I wanted to know if the answer was yes or no. The answer was 4 or 5. And I realize now that the answer is often a little more subtle than that, a little more nuanced. So Lent is a good thing, or at least it can be. But it's less likely to be a good thing if you grit your teeth and do it because you have to, because you don't have to. I hope you do. I hope something catches your ear or your eye and you think, yeah, I'm going to do that. Maybe every day in Lent, maybe not, maybe once a week. It doesn't matter. The idea is that this time in this church year is set aside both as preparation for Easter, but as an opportunity for us to grow closer to God so we appreciate Easter even more. Lent is a good thing, but only if we begin by thinking it's a good thing. And Lent is something that, it's not that we should do it, but that we can do it. That we are not so much allowed to do it, but encouraged to do it. And if we do, it will probably provide blessings. It might not. Anything possible. I've learned all kinds of things through what I thought didn't happen. Maybe that's what Lent will be for you this year. All I know for sure is that if you step into Lent, expecting and praying that God will meet you in a way that allows you to become more who you are, I'm pretty sure it'll happen. Because God is the God who loves us enough to make us into our best selves and to not just leave us as we are when we can be better. Amen.